Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been enjoying the Saints Happy Hour podcast free episodes all month? Well, my friend, that's about to end. But don't worry. Just become a Saints Happy Hour fan club patron and get access to this podcast every single day. And it's ad-free. No ads ever. And you get the Booze Bundle Welcome Kit, 4 swag items, amazing. And you get access to the Discord channel where we're talking Saints 24/7. What are you waiting for? Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight?
Yes.
The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. Big show. Everyone is here tonight, so that means you know we're getting close to Saints football season. Kevin, it's been so long. You're back. The prodigal son.
Yeah, I know. The existential dread of 2020 stopped weighing on me momentarily. So I was like, all right, I'll be on the podcast.
I'll bless them with my presence.
2020 is the fucking worst, man. It never relents. It never relents. I need football so bad right now. Andrew, I cannot express how badly.
Dave, I need football so bad that I actually watched about 70% of Austin Peay versus Central Arkansas last night.
Their mascot looks like if Bane and the Monopoly guy had a baby. Like, that's
Can you
Austin.
Explain to me how the letters P-E-A-Y pronounce P?
I don't know.
I thought it was Austin P-A.
So did I.
I knew it was Austin P because I remember.
Maybe you've gone full Ralph.
I remember back in the day, Austin P played Illinois in the NCAA tournament, and Dick Vitale said, "If Austin P beats Illinois, I will stand on my head." And after the game, Austin P won. Dick Vitale stood on his head, and Bob Lee cackled like a little girl. So that's how I knew how to pronounce it. But Dave, you'll be proud of me. I'm drinking a big boy beer again. I'm drinking the Dreamsicle from Galveston Coffee.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would call it a big boy. I mean, anything Dreamsicle isn't necessarily a big boy beer. I think last time I just said it's better than like a Bud Light Lime. I think is.
I was gonna say dream. The words Dreamsicle sound actually kind of little girl to me.
Yeah, that's right. I am drinking okay today. A little unknown fun fact for you. Apparently, according to the interwebs, today is Mai Tai Day, and I am a big tiki drink fan. I love a good. I like a whole fruit bowl that comes with my drink. I like an umbrella in there. I like it to be all kinds of fun, bright colors, like lime, neon green, or bright pink. I like all that kind of drinks. Or even multicolored. I love it when you go to Jamaica and they give you like the red, yellow, and green drink. They layer that shit. It's
so you're drinking a Dreamsicle?
So I'm drinking a Mai Tai. This is a Mai Tai. I've even got it garnished with a little orange and a little lime. I'm super fancy this evening. So
well, I am also fancy. I'm also fancy, but I'm going with delicious Belgian beer right here. It's a Chimay.
Oh, classy. That's
a
high alcohol level, too.
Chimay Blue label. Yeah, that's a great beer. I love that beer. That was like the best.
I'm actually drinking something you approve of, Dave.
You are. We are on the same page tonight. This is great symbiosis. When we went on a Disney cruise to Alaska last summer, that was like the best beer they had available in the dining room, and so I had one of those every night. It was it's delicious. It's very filling. It's a heavy beer. It's a very high ABV beer, but it's very good.
What are the unbreakable laws of this podcast, Kevin? One is that I'll always mispronounce names, right? The second one is...
I really want to talk about how you pronounce Amy Just's name, by the way.
Yeah, Jost, and then I correct myself and say Just.
Every time, every single time. You never Just. Learn. Yeah, it's like you never learn.
Well, what is it? Is it Just or is it...
It's J-U-S-T. How do you get Jost out of that?
I don't know.
It's literally spelled J-U-S-T. She's like the word just.
She's going to come on this podcast and hang up with us 30 seconds in.
So what's Kevin drinking?
So I am drinking a Rittenhouse rye.
Oh, wow.
This is the first time I've ever bought this bottle.
I thought I was fancy.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I just wanted to try a different kind of whiskey.
Kevin has the most manly taste of all of us on alcohol and all of us.
It's
wrestling.
True.
Wrestling.
Well, I'm making up for it for years of drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade and Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Smirnoff Ice is one step above Zima.
You are. You're doing time, Kevin.
That's one step below Ralph.
That is. But,
yeah,
but here...
you see, I did that.
You're a
I
big
did that
Zima fan?
Early to mid-20s. Like, once I got, like, 33, 34, it just...
I went...
But, like, booze.
So somebody would, like, ice you at a party, and you'd be, like, excited about it. You'd be like, okay, great.
Yes! Oh, yeah, man. Well, I got iced.
So, two things. One, this may surprise you guys and the listeners. Didn't go to a lot of parties in college. And then two, when I would go to a bar with my friends, and one of them would be like, "Hey, I'm going to the bar. What do you want to drink?" I would literally say, "Oh, Smirnoff Ice." My friend would like do a Jackie Gleason double take, and then be like, "No. Seriously, what do you want?"
Yeah, I'd say, "No,
I want a Smirnoff Ice." He would then say, "All right, you go get it yourself. I'm not ordering a Smirnoff Ice for you. You go get it." So it was a lonely existence of drinking.
Well, I went the opposite way.
I'm not sure I understand the audio clip there, Ralph.
What does golf have to do with this?
Yeah,
I just wanted to do the golf clap.
That was a stretch at best.
Stretch. So here's the thing. I went backwards. I used to drink a lot of hard liquor in college. Now I'm drinking fruity beers, flavored bourbon, all of it. I'm practically a sorority girl. But back to my original point is the laws of this podcast is I mispronounce names, and if the Saints have news in June, July, it's usually bad. But the third one is whenever this podcast finishes, the Saints will have breaking news. And of course, we finish the podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Podcast on Friday, and the Saints signed some dude from Canada. And, Kevin, they announced Gale got the Rona.
I forgot. Yeah, that was like yesterday that I saw that. Already I'd forgotten about it. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah,
because yesterday was the fucking Katrina anniversary. So, pretty easy to forget about that.
But, Andrew, have you done tape breakdown on the guy from Canada that I don't even know his name?
No. You know, I feel like if you get added to the roster at this point, I mean, you have no hope. Like, your best shot is that you impress enough to maybe get a practice squad spot, but no one at this point is getting on the 53.
That's not true. When they signed Jadeveon Clowney next Wednesday, he's making the team.
I'll give you an exception for that.
You know, but besides that, the Saints have had a great 2 weeks of practice. Knock on wood, no one seriously injured except for, you know, people are starting to get worried, ask Peyton questions about Kamara missing practice. He got a little snippy last night.
You saw Dwayne Washington got put on the COVID list today, right?
Yeah, he might have the Rona.
And I had to do a double take to make sure it wasn't Keith Washington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been bad. Andrew,
that would have been a big setback for the Jewish family.
Yes.
Yeah, for people, you need to check.
Since it's Dwayne Washington and he's a running back, that's good for Kevin.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing, and there are no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. But no,
Tony Jones.
That's a good point, though, Dave, about the coronavirus. Because Sean Payton last night, he made a good point, and he said he mentioned it to the players. Now that we're 2 weeks away from the opening game, Sean Payton mentioned a point. He made a point to the players that, hey, you got to be extra careful about it, because if you miss if you get test positive, you're in the 2 week window, we got potential to miss games.
The one thing I mentioned to our team is we're at that point in training camp now, you know, tomorrow Sunday, where a true positive test, not a false positive, but a true positive test puts a player and coach in jeopardy for that opening game. And so I think it's important for everyone to understand that.
Kevin, I feel like ESPN is going to have the Daily Rona Report. I don't know who would be the perfect host for it, but...
Put the fantasy football guy on it, Matthew Berry. Give me the, you know, you put the numbers scrolling at the bottom. Wait, Al Michaels is retired, right?
No, he's not retired. Al Michaels is not retired.
I could have swore one of the older guys retired recently. Okay, well, I'm just looking forward to if they do broadcast games for Al Michaels to just say, so-and-so, out with a Rona. Dave, you're allowed to laugh.
It is. Yeah, Al Michaels, he pioneered
I was watching the Islanders game.
Out with a knee.
Islanders?
Dave watches eight Islander games a year.
This is the furthest the Islanders have gotten in the playoffs since 1993. And I mean, 1993 was back when I was, you know, 12 years old and lived on Long Island and went to the actual games.
So you went to the Coliseum.
This is exciting for me.
Cheering on Pat LaFontaine.
We have live audio from the game coming in. Oh, there we go. Oh, the breakaway there.
Classic.
Pat LaFontaine, man. But, you know, the other thing that was of huge importance, Andrew, in the Saints, they scrimmaged on Friday. They did a walkthrough in the dome yesterday. The thing that was of huge importance yesterday was Drew Brees' bionic arm is real, and Sean Payton talked about it more.
Yeah, at times I've seen him get the ball down the field maybe noticeably a little different than a year ago or 2 years ago, but I like the way the ball's coming out. I think it's coming out on time and obviously to the right person in the right location. That's one of the great strengths of his.
Just saying.
Why is this a thing? Why? This is fucking Drew fucking Brees. This is the guy that owns every fucking record in the NFL. Why are we fucking dissecting his play and his throwing? Like, I'm sure he's doing fine. Like we don't need to pump him up. We don't need to, like, this is, like, crazy to me.
Are you
slow and steady decline, Dave? Slow and steady decline. Do you not
Dave,
remember that from
are
your
you,
days at the helm of
are
the
you? Are
I
you
do
new
that,
to this?
This is like a total overanalyzation. This is
are you
total,
new here?
We are breaking this. I cannot believe that. I don't know. I don't understand why Peyton is talking about this. Like
here,
this.
Are you new here? Are you not aware that I am
I'm
both
crippled? But I'm starting to reach my wit's end.
I'm both crippled and addicted to sound effects. Are you new here? Like, come on. It's just an excuse to play the X-Files music. That's all that was. Come on.
No, but I'm not talking about you, and I'm talking about the X-Files music, and I'm not at my wit's end because, like, why is Peyton, like, when has Peyton ever had felt the need to, like, defend how Drew Brees threw a fucking football? The guy is the greatest fucking quarterback that has ever thrown a football in the history of the NFL, and Peyton, for some reason, needs to continue to point out in his press conferences that he's throwing a good ball. That is unnecessary to me. I don't know.
Well,
understand.
He's getting asked about it. It's the media that's perpetuating. Well, you can't blame Sean Payton for responding to a question when they
yes,
ask
I can,
how, how's the ball
yes,
coming
I can.
Out.
No, I can, because Sean Payton is a guy, if he doesn't want to answer a fucking question, he'll tell him to go fuck off.
No. I mean, look. Drew Brees, he's no Otto Graham. He's no slinging Sammy Baugh.
Oh, my God.
Islanders just fucking scored. 2-1, baby. Yes! Woo!
I thought these sound bites were going to be pointless, Andrew, but it got Dave really angry. So I knew that was well worth my time last night listening to Sean Payton talk at the Dome afterwards, just to get Dave angry.
Apparently,
I mean, look, Drew Brees, he's got the kinetic chain going. The arm strength is fine. It's all in fun, but he's looking. I mean, he's looking better now. Look, it matters how he looks at the end of the year, but hey, Todd Gurley for the Falcons, he's already looking like an 80-year-old man, and it's the end of August. So, to me, Kevin, it's a great sign that Drew Brees is dropping bombs, even if it's just a couple. Over the last couple practices,
he doesn't have to be slinging, you know, dimes, you know, by the dozens in practice. He just got to throw a few of them just so that way we know he can still do it, just so that way teams know he can still do it. What's important is if/when the first game happens, that he connects on a couple.
Yeah.
To keep him honest. Yeah.
To keep him honest.
Right. Here, that's what matters.
I
was just gonna say I understand what Dave's point is, and I agree with it. I think it's on some level it's ridiculous to overanalyze Brees when
it's like insulting.
Yeah, we know he's gonna take care of his side of the fence. Like, why are we questioning Drew?
I mean, like,
Brees?
he's never shown us anything to doubt him yet. Like,
he literally destroyed his thumb last year on his throwing hand. And was the number two rated quarterback in the NFL with a destroyed thumb. So that speaks for itself. At the same time, I think the arm decline thing is something that happens naturally over the course of aging. And you add the thumb injury on top of it. I'm not going to lie. I am a little excited to hear that he's ripping them at practice and connecting on 40-yard passes. That's exciting to hear. Look, I haven't had a chance to watch any preseason like the rest of you, and so I kind of hang on to any nugget of news. And if I'm hearing that Drew Brees is hitting a dude in stride from 40 yards out, sorry, I'm getting excited.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing that I found interesting with Sean Payton's press conference. You know, Apparently, they have all these NFLs, all these protocols. They're making people wear watches. But, you know, I get annoyed with the media just, like, obsessed with, like, who's wearing masks, who's within 6 feet of each other. What are they doing? Are they doing what they need to do to be safe? And Sean Payton mentioned a point about the coaches have all these new, like, protocols of how they need to stand and how they need to be in the box. I found it interesting that the Saints have to make all these decisions. Sean Payton talked about it yesterday.
First off, with the league protocol, we're going to be limited as to how many we can have in the box relative to the square footage in the box. So we'll have to make an adjustment or two there. Then it really comes down to, you know, your play caller, you know, Dennis, myself, Pete, whoever's involved in calling the plays. I think that change would be the most, the most dramatic or substantial.
Kevin, when the Saints beat Tampa on like a last second, like great defensive play and like the assistant coaches in the box, like hug and like rip off their masks, like first take, they are dying to like get on the Saints about not being Rona compliant, right? They're just gonna murder the Saints and any other team that, like, when they celebrate at the end of game, like the coaches in the box, and we're gonna get exhausted of this, like, by the beginning of October, right?
We're gonna get exhausted of this by the beginning of the second half of the first game. here's the thing. If they are, And this is part of the reason why I'm still, I'm trying to compose my thought here. I apologize. This is why I guess I'm still sort of not able to accept that football is happening, because yeah. I still don't get how it's
gonna work.
How it's really gonna work. I still hold what the NBA does as the, or the NBA and the NHL as what you should be doing. But if the coaches and the players and everybody are being tested regularly, then look, I don't care then. Like, if everybody's being tested, if there is an actual safety protocols being adhered to, then there's very little for me to complain about.
Yeah,
if you want to do chest bumps, if you want to fucking hug, and if fucking Anzalone gets a pick six and decides to take his helmet off and fucking give Eskimo kisses to whoever the defensive coordinator is, I'm not gonna complain.
What is an Eskimo kiss? Am I out of the loop?
What
is
what?
Ralph, you have children, man.
The noses,
what?
The noses, you.
Eskimo kiss?
Yeah, you do this with your nose.
That's literally like the first thing I learned, Ralph.
I don't know.
I have memories of that from being 5 years old.
It's the fuck, the nose-to-nose thing, man.
Everyone knows that. Ralph, what's wrong with you?
What? You have all night? How long do you got, dude? What's wrong with me? I mean.
Hey, can one of you guys? I'm just reading Dave's chat. If someone in the chat, if you've never heard of Eskimo kisses, let us know.
Yeah,
I really feel like of all you guys that are chatting and in the chat room right now, and plus the four of us here, I would venture to say that Ralph is the only one that's never heard of this.
Yeah.
Quick update: 10 minutes left in the third period. Islanders up 2-1. This is great. They're leading the series 2-1. A win here would mean they're going up 3-1 against the number one seeded Philadelphia Flyers. If the Islanders win this series, they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, probably against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, and Dave Cariello, our New York Islander correspondent.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Well, isn't that special? you know, I keep thinking about Andrew, these empty games, with no fans in the stands, and how weird it's going to be, and like
I had a thought, because I had the same thought about when I was thinking about the NHL. What if the Islanders go to the Stanley Cup? You know, if they win the Stanley Cup, you're going to have a team that's just going to be skating around the rink and holding up a cup in front of no fans. And so, like, what if are we going to have a Super Bowl where you're going to have all the players on the field freaking out and, like, kissing this trophy, but there's, like, no fans in the stadium? Like, that's, like, to me, that's, like, totally weird. Like, that is. How do you get up?
Well, no, I just think, Andrew, football of all the sports, and I don't watch enough hockey to make a judgment anymore. I used to. When the Rangers won the Stanley Cup in 94, I felt like I completed a video game and I didn't need to watch anymore. I was like George Costanza. I just left on a high. I just left on a high note.
They've never won ever since then. So
I kind of wish I had done that with the Saints in 2009.
I left on a high note.
Right.
But
that's right.
I just think football more so than all the other sports is going to be the weirdest without fans. And I want to talk about it, but Sean Payton mentioned about how Saints being at the Dome, they're trying to get acclimated to a game with no fans.
Well, I think this, Mike, we've been here and practiced here before with no fans. I told the team afterwards, look, I don't know exactly what it's going to feel like on game day. I can't control that. We can't control that. You know, what we can control is our energy and our execution when it comes to playing. Will it be different? Certainly it will be. But I think in a season like this, you try to spend more time on the things that you can control as opposed to the things you can't. So I think that'll be a little bit of getting used to for every team in this league. And, again, you're lining up and still playing a sport you love. And I think the broadcast will be able to pipe in the acoustics that they need to. So I don't think it'll be that noticeable for the fan watching on television.
I saw Vegas is going to adjust the lines. Instead of giving you a 3-point edge for home field, they're bumping it down to a point and a half for all you degenerates out there.
That feels right. Yeah, it'll be weird. I think it just won't be as much of an advantage playing at home. But look, that's why you got the secret weapon. Craig Robertson brings the whole energy level of the team up. No, I mean, look, but there's a lot of guys on the team like that. Cam Jordan, Craig Robertson, Drew Brees, obviously, Michael Thomas.
Baby, Islanders, another goal, putting the icing on the cake, 3-1 with only third period, only 8:43 left.
Yeah, oh, it's in the bag.
I don't know. We're
in the bag.
Hockey fans are superstitious, but yeah, baby!
I think as a team culture, this is why you get a bunch of guys that love the game. That's always been the thing that Sean Payton's targeted, especially recently with the Jeff Ireland era. They've really tried to get players that love football, and I think it's for times when it's hard to maybe love football because there's adversity, you know? And so I think, I think they have the right players in the right locker room for this.
The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. Their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks or tugs on your fellows down low. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof and comes with an LED light, so you can manscape in the shower, in the dark, or in the dark shower, whatever floats your boat. They also just released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tipped tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. The Shears 2.0 nail kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. On their website, you'll find the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. This will help you tame that summer swamp ass with natural hydrants, antioxidants. You'll also find the crop reviver, a testy toner that's like having cologne that's designed for your balls. We won't judge you if we catch you sniffing yourself. Go to manscaped.com, check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk. Yeah, I just think it's going to be so weird, and I'm just curious to see, like you mentioned, Andrew, they have a good locker room. They have a great locker room. They have the best team they've ever had on paper. I really believe that. I'm curious to see teams that don't have a well-built locker room, Dave, and guys that need that energy, that crowd. And I don't know what teams it's going to be, but I'm convinced that come November, teams that are out of it, they're going to be even more shitty than usual, if that makes sense. You know, teams check out mentally, and usually by December, you can know, like, hey, that team, you get up on them 7-10-0, they're just going to fold. Dave, I think there's going to be even more teams like that. Is that gambling theory of mine, is that crazy?
No, that's kind of what I was trying to say last week when we were talking about it, and I was, you know, praising the Saints for being a veteran squad, and you know, they've got a lot of returning guys, and they're well coached, and they know what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't have a new quarterback or, you know, a new coach or running a new system. The Saints are very, very, very well positioned to kick ass in the COVID 2020 season. Very well positioned. As well positioned as any team. Potentially, you know, if people talk about the Patriots, Bill Belichick, greatest coach. He is a great coach, maybe the greatest coach. Patriots obviously have a great organization. I mean, the Saints could potentially be better positioned than even the New England Patriots. I mean, they've got Cam Newton. They've got to deal with new quarterback shit. They've had people opt out. They don't necessarily have a locker room that's as cohesive as the Saints. And, you know, as crazy as it is to think and to say, Drew Brees turned his chicken shit into a chicken salad sandwich with the whole comments that he made this summer with the you know, in the middle of the Black Lives, you know, in the heat of the Black Lives Matters campaign. So, I mean, yeah, this is it. I mean, this is it. The only question is like, you know, if the Saints win the Super Bowl this year.
When?
What do you have? Fine. When the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, you know, how much like bullshit defending are we going to have to do? Like, oh, it doesn't count. This is the COVID season. You know, because like you said, I listen to Barstool Sports, and their theory is, you know, this is the season to just have your team lose because you could just blame it on COVID and be like, oh, yeah, this is whatever. Yeah. Who cares? This doesn't matter.
I'm going to do that to every other team. If anyone else wins, I'll be like, oh, it's bullshit.
COVID. I have.
But if the Saints win,
I have $375 of 2017 Astros World Series Championship merchandise, and that season is drenched in cheating. Ask me if I give a shit. Ask me. I do not.
Do you give a shit?
I don't give a shit. The Saints win a Super Bowl, I will spend a crazy amount on championship merch, and I will rub it in Atlanta Falcons fans' faces all time. I don't care. But speaking of,
I think I'd pay double for merch if they win this year.
Dave, speaking of insufferable, Andrew is at insufferable.
We're talking about Colin Cowherd.
No, we're talking about Andrew's UDFA adopted son, Keith Washington.
He
had a great week. He is insufferable. Either you, me, or Kevin's UDFA adopted son has to step the hell up and win. Because if Andrew goes back-to-back, his insufferableness may sink this entire podcast. I cannot take it. He cannot win back-to-back times.
Well, I was getting a little worried because, you know, I wasn't really hearing too much about Malcolm Roach, but I know he played pretty well during the scrimmage, so I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, I bumped you up to number two, Dave.
I saw that. I was.
Yeah, Kevin, Andrew did. You did your ratings. I was last. There's no rock out with your throck out. Even Kevin's UDFA son, Kevin didn't know he existed until he drafted him. He's ahead of me, which is very.
I don't know. I'm thinking with the Dwayne Washington coronavirus scare. I'm thinking that might vault Kevin into second place here.
Oh man, you're not kidding. So, Kevin, if you, I'm secretly rooting for Kevin to win the UDFA because then Kevin will just gloat about it forever, but then forget that he won in like 3 weeks, which will be fun. Here's a question that people are asking me on Twitter. I was fighting with a guy over it, and I think it's an interesting question, Dave. If some NFL teams can have fans, even if it's like, you know, 15,000, you know, the Dolphins can be at 25%, and Texas maybe the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is gung ho about having fans, and he says they can have 50% fans. If some teams can't have fans, and then you go play the Cowboys and they get a 50% stadium or a 25% stadium, how much of an advantage is it for the teams that have fans, even though it's not going to be near a full stadium?
I don't know how many of those 25,000 fans in Dallas Stadium, obviously they're going to be season ticket holders, I would presume. So how many of them are going to sell their tickets on the open market and allow Saints fans in there?
Ooh,
it only takes 12,000. I know we've got 12,000 Saints fans out there that would cut that crowd in half immediately.
Well, I mean, we got 4,000 people that listen to this podcast in Dallas a month.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they were to just cut the resale market out completely and just you got to show ID, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so that's one is like, like Andrew says, do they do something like that? Do they put some sort of, limit on it or precaution on it where it has to be the actual season ticket holder? And if they don't, then it comes down to who's got like the most loyal fans who aren't going to fucking sell out and sell their tickets, you know? Which kind of goes back to. Yeah, I remember I was pissed off. Was it last season or was it 2018 when we had a whole bunch of home games, and the first like 2-3 home games it felt like an away game because there were so many opposing fans.
San Francisco brought a crap ton of people.
No, but it was like early. I remember it was early in the season. I guess it was like Dallas. I think it was when we played Houston.
Houston had a crap ton too. Houston had a ton. My brother who went to the San Francisco game.
And that shit. Yeah. So I mean, it happens. Like people sell out their tickets. They put them on the open market, and that shit pisses me off because then you've got a lot of fans from opposing teams, and they can, the opposing team can fucking hear that and they can pick up on that shit.
But how much does it matter? How much does it matter, Kevin, if the Saints go to, I don't know, Philly or wherever, and they're like, hey, Philly's got a 30%. They can fill their stadium to 30%, so it's 22,000 fans, but the Saints are still playing in an empty stadium. How big of an advantage is 22,000 people in a third or a half full stadium? How much of an advantage for that is it going to be for home teams?
I mean, there will be some noise. I don't think you'll see a lot of timeouts being taken. I don't think you'll see a lot of 40-second play clock violations. I also don't think you'll see a lot of false starts either. So,
yeah, it'll be.
I don't think having 20,000 people will matter as much as people think.
Yeah.
See, I was going to say the opposite. I feel like if you get 20,000 fans, on some level, I would assume that it's a prize ticket. Like, you are one of 70,000 fans want to be there, if not more, and you're one of 20,000 that gets to go. So you better make up for the 50,000 that aren't there, and you're going to have to be louder than ever. And I would guess that you have to be pretty damn passionate to be lucky enough to be one of those to get in the stadium. So, I mean, I can't speak for every stadium. I can't speak for every fan base. But certainly if it was a Saints game and we were able to get 15-20K into the stadium, I know we would be banging that drum hard on this podcast. Like, you don't get to go to this game to be seen and get decked out in your Saints clothes and leave in the second quarter because, you know, you had fun and you're ready to get on with your Sunday. Like, no. If you're one of 15-20K that's in the stadium, you better be there to make noise and make a difference because it's all we got.
I believe, you know? I believe Dave said going into the 2018 NFC Championship, if you go to the Dome and you leave with your vocal cords intact,
yeah, remember,
you've done something wrong.
Remember
you
when
failed.
I made I made the video where I was holding up the cards. I didn't speak the whole thing. I just said it with the cards. Yeah. Remember that?
Join Saints Happy Hour Fan Club today. We'll mail you the best swag. You'll get exclusive access to our daily Saints podcast, and you can talk football 24/7 with other Saints fans in our Discord channel. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. Yeah, no, yeah, that's a good point. Good. But
I agree. I agree with Kevin though. Kevin brings up a good point. You're not going to see timeouts being taken because the crowd is too loud, or the crowd is, you know, or a team gets a lot of momentum, and maybe you can feel it through the crowd. I mean, that's true. I think coaches are going to have a lot more timeouts to work with later in the half or later in the game or whatever, because they're not necessarily going to be wasting them.
Team that wastes timeouts, that's in their DNA. Like Bill O'Brien. And Andy Reid, like, that's in their DNA, man. They're just going to burn timeouts regardless. They can't, the crowd, no crowd. I don't think that matters, man. But I do think the refereeing is going to be extra, extra shitty this year. And that's bad for the Saints because we know the Saints and referee, it doesn't go well. But by the way, I want to say a thank you to John, Adam, and Vicky. They signed up and became Saints Happy Hour Fan Club patrons at the $10 level.
My wife.
We'll be shipping you out a booze bundle this week. Thanks for signing up, everybody. You should do it. It's amazing. This is the last week this week of the free shows. You should take advantage, but you should sign up so you can get this podcast every single freaking day. So, Andrew, this was a great question that somebody asked me yesterday that I thought we should talk about is, you know, we don't have the game day experience of you can't, you know, probably most people aren't going to have these giant, you can't tailgate, you can't go to the game, you can't have these giant family football, everybody comes over for the football game, which is a huge Louisiana thing. Some people might do it, but probably for COVID it's going to be less. So what are you going to do specifically to enhance your 2020 season on game day? I know you're in Virginia and I'm in Houston, but what are you going to try to do to get that juice that the crowd would give you through the TV or whatever, that you can't have people over? What are you going to do to try to get that juice, to get it to feel like it normally feels during football season?
Well, you know, I probably go in person to three or four games a year. I usually make it to half or just less than half, and I probably won't go to any this year. So it won't be the same. I'm prepared for that. And yeah, like you said, look, when I'm in Virginia, I'm kind of locked and loaded on my TV screen and I'm here with my family and that's it. You know, I don't have a bunch of friends here in Charlottesville that love the Saints and come over. And quite frankly, even if I did, I kind of like to lock in and I don't like a bunch of distractions. I've had people come over and watch the game with me and, you know, they're talking and asking me questions. So I can't do this. I got to watch the game. I can't do this with you. So I kind of would prefer to watch it in isolation anyway, but you know, it doesn't take too much, honestly, Ralph, for me to get pretty fired up about Saints football. I mean, you give me a screen and nothing else and lock me in a room. I mean, you could lock me in a 4x4 cell. And that would be enough to just be ready to run through a wall. The Saints football gives me endorphins like nothing else.
Dave, is there, you go to all the games, Dave. So are you planning to do anything to increase your home game experience to make it more exciting, or does, or are you like Andrew, you don't need anything, you just need more booze like me?
I'm gonna buy like a virtual reality headset, and I'm gonna like do like a virtual reality.
Well, I have one of those. I should
do that. Yeah, they should. Well, yeah. The NFL, I guess, would have to provide that somehow. But hold on, I'm on the edge of my seat here. There's 4 seconds left. The Flyers scored a goal and got to within one here, but game over. All right, here we go. Islanders, baby. 3-1. 3-1. This is fucking crazy. Holy shit! I cannot believe
Kevin.
This.
I love to make insane hyperbolic statements on this podcast because it makes people
fun.
If the Saints defeat the Bucks and humiliate Tom Brady and he looks old and decrepit, I believe it will be the most enjoyable Saints season opening win of my entire life. Like if the Saints would win like 35-10 and Drew and Tom Brady would look old and decrepit and throw like 3 picks, it might be the best week one win of my entire life. Tell me I'm wrong.
Kevin's going to the bathroom.
That is tough. The only thing I can think of would be the 2010 opener against the Vikings.
Yeah, it was good.
But that was a very low scoring.
What about the John Carney field goal? The
Carolina.
Yeah,
yeah, post Katrina, that was fun.
Right, but that was they played against the Giants. Didn't they?
No, they played Carolina first, and then they went to New York and had a quote-unquote home game and got housed.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah.
I was at that game.
You don't want to really – Kevin, you don't really want to play the Saints memory game with me, do you?
No, I don't.
Don't make Andrew go into his basement and pull out his VHS fucking cassettes.
I just feel like I hate Tom Brady so much, Andrew. Like if he – and I'm not saying if the Saints win like 21-17, like that won't do it. But if the Saints look amazing and Brady looks washed, like that will be so goddamn enjoyable. Like if the defense looks amazing.
Yeah, it needs to include like a Shy Tuttle-esque moment. You know, I'm not saying he's got to get a pick in – stiff arm him again. You know, not necessarily that whole thing. Go ahead and play the clip.
Well, here's the thing that I'll play.
Oh, deception! Oh, deception! Matt Ryan! Oh my god! Wie eine Puppe gibt er ihn in stiff arm und er fliegt auf den Boden. Hör doch mal auf.
Mitch asked
Hör
the question.
Doch mal auf.
Mitch has got a question. I'm going to save it for when we do the mailbag in a minute because I like the music to play underneath. But Mitch has a question that's just fan-fucking-tastic, and it's so good. Chef's kiss. I might have to send him a free T-shirt. It's so good. But like, hey, I mean,
hold on. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
What was I talking about?
I don't know. You've been drinking too much Chimay.
Yeah.
Chimay, but. Here's the question, and I'll open it up for the people in the chat room. I'm super excited for Saints football. Look, this podcast has been fun. You guys, we're gonna have a record. We're gonna hit 40,000 downloads, which is, I always think of it when I see the number, and I think of me and Kevin doing it, and there was like 8 people listening. You know, when we first started, to have 40,000 of you people download this podcast and all, it just fires me up. But I feel lost because the preseason games, like week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, boom, regular season. We don't have that. So even though I'm excited, I feel like I'm excited, but I'm lost in the woods, Kevin. So,
I'm really nervous. I'm really, really nervous. I want to get Kevin's thoughts on this too. But I just want to say I'm not feeling the usual excitement for the Saints right now because they haven't played preseason, and it's just like, I mean, some people are getting excited about training camp and stuff, but it's not the same as usual for a lot of reasons, obvious reasons. But I am nervous in the sense that I really feel like when it comes and the game's on, people are going to watch. And I think there's an opportunity in that first game to beat Tom Brady and get everyone like from 0 to 100 right away and get super charged and pumped about the Saints if they win. But if they lose and they're 0-1, like, oh, yeah, the football season's here and the Saints are on again. Oh, they lost. Back to not caring, or, you know, 2020 sucks. So I actually feel like it's more critical they win this first game for just general excitement.
Kevin. I don't know. I feel like that's all we're going to have to look forward to on weekends. And Maybe. We'll see what happens with LSU, but and obviously Tulane. Everybody's
so you don't think
Tulane,
it matters but... that they win the first game that much?
I mean, do I think it would help? Yes. Do I think it would be great? Yes. Do I think it would be a good morale boost right off the bat? Absolutely. But if they don't win the first game, hell, they could lose the first four games. I think people are still going to be watching the Saints. It's the fucking Saints, man. I mean, you know, what else do we have? We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing.
So earlier today, I saw a tweet by Cajun Alaskan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys – I mean, I'm sure he follows you guys, and maybe you guys follow him. He tweeted something out, and it's basically how I felt this whole time. So I'm just going to read his tweet verbatim. I've had to pull it up. So confession. I haven't been getting excited for football because I don't think they'll get a full season in. And even if they do, it's going to be so fucked up by COVID, we'll just be left lamenting a Saints season that could have or should have been.
That's only true if they don't have the Lombardi, my friend. If they get the Lombardi, I don't care if it's fucking 4 weeks. I don't care. As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball and the NBA are in full swing, and there are no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
That's kind of how I've been this whole time. It's like I still don't know for certain that it's going to happen. Like, until the ball is kicked off on game, I just have a hard time accepting that it's real.
I'm pretty confident we're having a season. I'm pretty confident we're having an NFL season. I'm pretty confident we're having a college season.
I'm confident. I'm 100% confident, Andrew. They're going to have an NFL season. Look, it may be train wreck games, and you may be like, oh, my God, the Saints are playing Atlanta, and ha ha ha, Atlanta's got 27 guys with COVID, and they made the Falcons play anyway, and the Saints won 56-2 or 3 or whatever, and it's great. Like, and it may be a joke and a shame, like the games may be terrible. They're gonna plow through it. I really believe that.
I gotta say that I agree with your statement, Ralph, but I gotta say, I'm shocked that as of today, there's three guys on the COVID list. Over 32 teams, like whatever protocols they put in place. And I was the first to kind of say, look, this isn't a bubble. Like, these protocols are great, but like, they can't stop these players from going out to bars and hanging out with people when they go home. And I was the biggest disbeliever in, like, these guys are going to get COVID. It's going to get passed around. It's going to spread. And it's actually working. Like, they have three cases.
Imagine that. If you have a bottomless pit, if you have a bottomless pit of money and you do things like,
yeah, and they test every day, yeah, like
testing every day, tracking.
Maybe they will pull this off. Like, at this point, based on how training camp's going, I'm kind of inclined to think they've figured this out.
Yeah. I think, and the same goes for college football. I think these guys are in a better position and they are safer being in the, you know, under the microscope of their respective leagues, you know, the NFL or the NCAA, and getting tested once, twice, three times a week, and you know, being looked at, and you know, especially the NFL guys and having the media, and I think they are way better off and way safer in these programs than they are if they were just left to their own devices for the most part.
Well, I mean,
I was just listening to my buddy Andrew Allegretta did a podcast with Patrick Johnson from Tulane, and you know, the football players, the guys that, you know, they're getting tested three times a week, and they know that they're safe, and they're hanging out only amongst themselves, and they're in their own kind of, they're not officially in a bubble, but as a team, you know, they're doing all their kind of stuff in a, you know, an unofficial bubble, and they're getting taught to kind of be wary of the regular normal students, the non-athlete students, because they're going out. I'm serious. This is honest.
No,
he's like, the team coaches are telling the football players, get to class 10 minutes early, sit in the corner of the room. So, you know, so you get there before people are filing through the door, and you stay and you leave after everyone else leaves. Like, they are teaching these football players to these additional safety protocols, and they're genuinely more concerned about the regular kids that they're interacting with for group projects or going to classes with, because they're not getting tested two to three times a week.
Well,
like these football players are.
And
they
Alabama,
are being taught to be wary of just these normal of their peers, of their other peers that aren't in the football program.
Kevin,
so I very much think that these guys are, you know, they are they're being well taken care of and very well monitored, I think.
Well, Kevin, I know it, this makes me a terrible person, but I don't care. University of Alabama, they had 1,200 positive cases of coronavirus. How many weeks is it going to take Nick Saban before he has a press conference and just yells obscenities at the students at the University of Alabama to stop ruining his football season?
Oh, that's after. I tell you what, I'll say week three at the latest. If any member of his team tests positive, it could be the fucking, it could be some sixth string player in the secondary who only gets on the field during punt returns or some horseshit. Saban will get in front of a camera and blow a gasket if that guy gets it. So, week three at the latest.
I mean, here's the thing too, Andrew. I was just thinking of this. You know, it used to be where players on social media, they would take, you know, players would go out during the week and fans would take pictures with them. And, it was kind of cool. Like, oh, Michael Thomas is out and doing something, fans take pictures. Now, like, players have to know that, like, if you go out, like, it's going to be on social media, and there's no hiding.
That's the message. There was Deontay Harris posted something on Instagram about a month ago, and it was like him at Chuck E. Cheese, but it was like from a year ago. Like, he just posted an Insta story, and it was like video of him at Chuck E. Cheese or something, and fans were going nuts on him. Like, it was already like, he was like, everybody chill. Like, that was from last year. That was not yesterday. But I mean, everyone's watching that like a hawk. And you played that clip of Sean Payton earlier. I think that's the message to the team. You know, I think they're doing a good job of communicating. Look, like this, if you let your guard down and you get sick, it's over for you. You don't get to play for 2 weeks. You miss the game. You don't get to play. There are no do-overs. So I think just continuing to reiterate, like, it's like the old saying in business that you've got to say something seven times before someone internalizes it. And so you have to say it so many times that they anticipate what you're going to say before it even comes out your mouth. And so I believe Sean Payton, that's the way he runs his business. And so, look, these are professionals. I think they'll do a good job. And the low case numbers so far kind of speak to that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dave, it is time for your favorite part of the show.
It's the Ralph Shuffle.
I'm waiting for YouTube to hit us with a copyright.
Nobody is monitoring the internet for this song.
No, they're not. So here is the question that the mailbag. We got some good questions tonight, but Mitch asked a great one. Kevin, what would be funnier if Shy Tuttle intercepted and stiff-armed Matt Ryan again, or if he did it to Brady week one?
Brady.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree.
I would if he does it again to Brady.
You gotta just diversify your portfolio.
Yeah,
diversify your bonds.
I don't know if it'll be a national game, so we'll get another German version. I'm sure of it because it's the national game.
Fingers crossed.
With right. Tom Brady.
That was good.
Dave,
Kevin, that was a dead ringer.
Thank you.
Can we get a hot take from Ralph's cat? No, you can't, Dale.
Meow.
This is from Josh. Dave, if there are no fans of the game this year, how much would you pay to get one of those Michelob Ultra live stream sideline streams like the NBA had?
Oh, I'm not familiar with that NBA thing. What is it, like a special camera that's like down low or something where you can hear the action?
Yeah, I think it was that. And you can be... And they had, like, you could... The NBA did a thing where you can... You would set up watching the game, and they would put you in the stand. Like, you could be...
I mean, honestly... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, it's like a picture of your face, and you're...
No,
like,
it's
cheering.
Like a live stream of you at, like, watching the game. It's like a computer.
Right. It looks like you're in the stands, but it's like a...
Oh, I mean, I saw those people on the background when I was watching the Pelicans games. But what? But do you get to see something different from your end?
No, you just get to be like when they score a touchdown, people would see you react and be happy. Perhaps, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's like Tulane's doing the cutout thing where they're gonna put. You know, you can send in a photo and they'll make the cutout of you, and you'll be Ralph. Cue up the song again. Come on.
That's probably worth 50 bucks, right?
I think they were charging 75 and you can get two for 50.
I'm gonna get a cutout of my cat put in the Astros.
So yeah, so that's exactly where I was at. I'm thinking 50 bucks is the price I would.
Yeah.
So Andrew, Mr. Poboy, he understands that you are the person to ask about serious football topics. So he asked this question. Chili on a hot dog, bean or no bean? And while I'm here, ketchup or no ketchup?
I'm a mustard guy. I know that's like kind of isn't that like a Chicago thing to say?
Yeah. No.
Mustard on a hot dog?
Beans on your hot dog.
I'm more of a mustard guy. I don't like ketchup. So
ketchup on a hot dog is also disgusting.
I would go mustard on a hot dog and chili definitely with beans. No doubt.
Beans is...
I go no bean.
I would go no beans too.
Although I would go mustard, give me some like spicy mustard or horseradish. Not horseradish. What's the other? It's a dark.
Dijon.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Well, see, okay. So while we're on the topic of mustard, I have been since I grew up on Long Island, and my neighbor, his mother was Irish, off the boat Irish, an accent, everything. She was from Ireland.
Oh, shillelagh.
Yeah. So she always had this mustard. You can buy it at the store. Coleman's mustard. It's very bright yellow, but it's like very spicy. It's like a horseradishy spicy.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
It like hits you, then it goes
spicy
away.
Mustard there.
But I started eating that at her house. She always had that. You know, she would always do like a delicious like baked ham, like a sugar maple glazed ham or whatever, and I would put this hot spicy Coleman's mustard on it. I put on anything, french fries anyway. So go if you're a mustard person, go buy Coleman's mustard, check it out. It's delicious.
Coleman's,
I'm a big fan. There's nothing greater
than spicy mustard and french fries. That is a killer
Coleman's
combo.
Mustard, we still have two slots available to cram in more ads on this podcast. So if you want to sponsor, think about it. And if you hate the ads, become a patron. So here's a good actual football question, though, Dave. Let me pull it up. Which player's absence from the Rona would be the most detrimentally noticeable, not Drew Brees?
Mike Thomas? Duh.
I don't know.
What, yeah, Andrew's going to go with Ryan Ramczyk.
No.
Nope.
DeMario Davis.
That's my answer. You know why I'm going to say DeMario Davis? Because I saw what the defense looked like at linebacker when Kiko Alonso and AJ Klein were out against the 49ers. DeMario Davis played in that game, and I saw what linebacker looked like. So linebacker without DeMario Davis is something I never want to see. So, and here's the thing, like they missed Breeze last year. They were missing Kamara. They had Latavius Murray step in. They had Bridgewater step in. They've got Emmanuel Sanders. The offense could figure it out for a week or two without Mike Thomas. I think they'd be fine with a lot of those stars. I think DeMario Davis being out would be crippling.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I don't know. You get down early in one of those games. You don't have Mike Thomas. Forget it.
I don't know. If Will Lutz tested positive on game day morning, that could be dicey too.
Drew Brees can drop kick it. It's fine.
So, everybody, thanks for joining us.
I thought there was a superhero question.
No, I don't see. I don't see any superhero.
There was a question about.
That was Balky. Balky asked that, I think.
I don't
see it. Maybe that was on Discord.
Bertakamus. That was on Discord.
I don't see it, but if you see it, pull it up and ask it.
All right, I'm pulling it up. Give me a second. Give me a second here.
That was on Discord.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm looking it up.
I mean,
talk amongst yourselves. The Reconstruction, the post-Civil War Reconstruction era was neither reconstructive
nor civil.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, you, Ralph, you may forget, but you asked on Discord for podcast questions.
Oh, I did. That's right.
So there's a bunch.
And you also haven't pushed the hotline. We're not pushing the hotline, Ralph.
Yeah, I didn't. I failed. As
I need the hotline to happen.
Before we get to the Discord question, hotline 210-595-0818.
Call about anything.
Just leave a funny voicemail no longer than 60 seconds and we'll play it next week.
Make fun.
Repeat it again. Repeat the number again because Dave jumped in.
210-595-0818. Okay, Andrew, get to the Discord question.
Put that in your phone as Saints Happy Hour, and whenever you feel the need, you know, later when you start drinking, you get drunk or whatever, you just pull up Saints Happy Hour on your phone, and you just start talking and just keep it to 30 seconds.
Leave us a voicemail, yep.
All right, Andrew, get to the Discord.
We're going to go rapid fire here, guys, so 10 seconds or less. Ralph, what's up with Kamara? Why can't we have nice things?
He's dead. Sean Payton is hiding it. He was curt with the media last night. I didn't cut the soundbite because he was just like, I don't want to get into it. But I worry that his thighs exploded and he's dead.
Would you draft first round of your fantasy playoffs?
No, I don't want to give him. I don't give him
a
Ralph
stink. Kevin, this is a football roster question, so this is you're a dead ringer for this one. How will Sean Payton break off the love affair with Austin Carr, or is that bond so strong that Carr will somehow still make the roster?
Sean Payton is going to care for Austin Carr 30, 40, 50 years from now when Austin Carr has dementia. And Sean Payton will die within hours of Austin Carr dying 40, 50, 60 years from now. That's
like
how
Thomas
deep
Jefferson
the
and
connection
John Adams
is.
Now, wait. Was Austin Carr undrafted?
Yes.
Okay, see, this is okay. Just as we have our own undrafted free agent adopted sons, so does Sean Payton, and that person is Austin Carr. Austin Carr is Sean Payton's adopted undrafted free agent, and he's sticking with him. He's ride or die. He's never letting him go. That's what it is.
Has Austin Carr and Andy Tanner
he's
have
playing
they
the game
seen,
with us? Sean Payton is playing
the same room at the same time. Austin Carr and Andy Tanner. I think they might be the same person.
Dave, that's your funniest comment all preseason. We need you drunk watching the Islanders more often.
All right, Dave, rapid fire. We got more to go here. Agnus asks, what is your red hot roster take cut surprise?
Oh, Jesus. Austin Carr is making the team.
That's smoking hot.
Nice. All right, Kevin, with the news that Dwayne Washington has gone on reserve COVID-19, does this open the door for your free agent adopted son to make a run at the final 53?
Yes. I yield the remainder of my time.
Nice. I'll answer this one. With the passing of Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther actor, I think it's time to ask again, what Saints players are what superheroes? I'll go first. We can all answer this one. We can all go one at a time. And Anzalone is clearly Mario, Super Mario.
I don't know if he's really
he's a superhero.
Super Mario is not a superhero.
Well, this is Kevin. Come on, Kevin. I know you, we know you want to answer this one.
Who's Aquaman?
There you go.
Who's Aquaman?
I was trying to get him to play the Super Mario theme song.
I did. I played
Thor.
It.
He's Thor.
He does kind of look like Thor.
Who's Aquaman?
Jason Hill is Thor.
Yeah, that's true. Thor did cut his hair in that movie. He went short. You're right.
Ramchek could be
that
the
works.
Thing.
Or is Taysom Hill Thanos?
No. Thanos is bad, though, right?
I don't know. I don't know anything about any of the Marvel people. My son has started to get into them, but I don't know anything about them.
Who's Catwoman? Let's get weird. Any more questions, Andrew?
That's it.
That's it. So, listen, guys. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate everybody in the live stream. You get one more week of free shows, but you should become a Saints Happy Hour patron. It's amazing. We're going to be doing this all year long. You're going to need this podcast because you're not going to be able to go to the games. Shit's going to get weird with the Rona. You want your football season to be fun, and nobody has as much fun as we do. So, sign up already. So, for
Louisiana
Andrew,
sports writers, second best.
That's right.
Podcast.
Oh, my God. We forgot about it. And y'all were mad because I paid the $25 entry fee, so my name was on the thing. But, Dave, you could go into paint and put everybody else's name in it. It's a group award. But I am the crippled Susan Lucci of Louisiana sports broadcasters. I never win anything.
Oh, yes. I wanted to mention, I loved your Susan Lucci reference on the last podcast. That's a surprise reference. Susan Lucci is from my hometown.
Yeah.
Garden City. She lives in Garden City, New York. I went to middle school with her son.
Maybe they'll give me an award after I'm dead.
I love it. Love the Susan Lucci.
Put it on my gravestone. So we do appreciate it. We're the only one of the shows of the podcast that isn't actually professional. All the other ones in the category were professional ones, not us. We're ramshackle.
That's why they're boring.
That's right. So we're award winning. How you like that? So anyway, thanks guys for supporting us, for joining us tonight. For Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Until next time, the bar is closed.